Well, hello. I made it. You think I'm happy now? Wait till you see me in heaven. For all of you who don't know me, my name is Matthew Rieger. I'm now 33 years old. I got saved when I was 32, right before I turned 33. Just a year ago today, I was in Sacramento in a hospital bed, just recovering from a severe stroke I had, and pretty much on my way to hell. I would have died for sure, and I would have died in my sins. And it says if you die in your sins, Jesus says you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am, and I would have been in hell for sure. So I want to say I'm glad to be saved now. I got out of the hospital. It was a year ago today I was in the hospital bed in Sacramento. I got out of the hospital, and I was in there for so long with the therapy and all that. I lost my place to live, and when I got out, I went to a halfway house and stayed there for a little while. And basically, I didn't have the rent to pay them either, and I couldn't stay there. I called my uncle and my aunt if I could come back to Massachusetts and get my courts taken care of and stay there until I can get back on my feet again. They said yes, I could do that. So I thank you right now. While I have the opportunity, I want to thank you, Mike and Charlene, for helping me out. And I started going to church with them right here where I used to go when I was a kid with them. And I would sit on this side over here in the back somewhere, and I'd look up at this sign that says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And I started going back to the house, and I'm looking around at the house. I'm like, wow, everybody's saved inside the house but me. I said, I'm not saved. I first started coming here and reading that sign. Kevin met me at the door the first day I came in here, and he says, "You know the Lord?" I says, "Yes, I know the Lord." I sat down. I started looking up at the sign and sitting down. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and I'm thinking, "Yeah, I know the Lord." Well, actually, really, truthfully, Matt, I know of the Lord. I don't know the Lord personally. And then kept thinking, well, I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord, really. And then you have that one verse in Matthew where it says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that kept haunting me at night, and I was like, wow, that's haunting me. I said, I don't know the Lord, really. I don't know. How do I know the Lord? Everybody's saved but me, and everybody's at church is saved but me. I'm not saved. I said, I don't know the Lord. How do you know the Lord? I was thinking, how do you know the Lord? And it says, you know, I kept looking at that. I said, I believe on the Lord, sure. I was referred to the translation of the word believe means trust. Trust the Lord. Lord means master. Trust Jesus Christ as your master. I said, sure, I'll do that. I'm ready to do this right now. I believe he died for my sins on the tree, on the cross there. And I said, I believe this. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to be saved. What do I do to be saved? And I look, and you see there in Acts chapter 16:31, it says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And I see it right there as I'm sitting there sitting in the chair looking up at this and hearing the preacher speak. And I'm like, yeah, I believe the Bible. I said, I believe all this. And so what do I do about it now? And I was referred to my aunt there. She tells me, Charlene, thank you. She says, well, maybe you should really get down and pray and tell the Lord this, not me. Maybe you should not to that exact wording, but that's what the idea I got of it was, tell the Lord this. And I said, okay, I'm surrendering right now to the Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. Whatever I kept thinking, I gotta hurry up and do something. And so, well, You know what? Jesus Christ did all the work. He died on the cross, shed his blood for our sins. So yes, I believe that. I will do whatever he wants me to do. I will do it. So I'll trust Jesus Christ as my Lord. Yes, I will. Mike likes to say boss. Trust him as your boss. It's master, boss, yes, leader. I will trust Jesus Christ to do whatever he wants me to do, I will do. And I start, you know, I read more into the Word every day, and I'm kind of getting the idea of it. Even with my stroke, I had a stroke last year, and it left me pretty confused and a bad left side. But I still could read the Bible, and it was starting to sink in. I see in Hebrews where it says, "God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." I was diligently seeking him, and I can understand that now. Yes, it's a reward. Yeah, you were granted salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sins. I said, wow, what a relief. What a relief. I said, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, serve him. That's what I'm going to do. And I've been doing it ever since. That was back in, I would say, End of March. It was the end of March, maybe the first week in April, right before my birthday on April 7th. I decided I'm going to do this from now on. I'm going to surrender to Jesus Christ as my Lord. Yes, I will. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to talk constantly up here. I just wanted to say to everybody, yes, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. And right here at this church where I went through the transformation, decided I'm going to get baptized right here. They have the baptizing unit. I was helped in and out. Thank you. I got baptized. I declared my allegiance to Jesus Christ as my Lord right here in front of everybody. And now I'm testifying to everybody saying, this is what happened. I was going to die in my sins, and I knew it. And I did not. I believed in hell. I believed in God. You didn't have to convince me that I was a sinner and that there was a hell and that God is holy. I believed all this. I knew it. And I knew that I was destined for hell, and I did not want this. I wanted to change it right now. Right at the very moment that I was convicted of my sins, I said, I got to change this right now. Because I don't want to go this way. As you can, you know. You have to have a conscious decision to change. I mean, good thing I never got left in a coma or something or regained my consciousness. I'm so glad the Lord saved me. Now I'm living for Him. I have faith now in Jesus Christ. It grows. It does grow as your prayers get answered and you read more of the Word and understand more and knowledge. Your faith does grow, and it's growing. And I'm still strong for going whatever Jesus Christ wants me to do. That's what I'm doing. I don't want to be led into temptation of sin anymore. I just rather just not even have it around me, because I can see that. I mean, the heart is deceitful and above all desperately wicked. I don't want any part of that anymore. If that's what separates me from God, I don't want no part of that. You know, and now I start, and then what I want to say, if I can put open the Bible here to one thing, just say, I mean, that's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I understand that now. Before I didn't understand it, but I heard it. But this is what's leading me to. I want to open up to Isaiah chapter 55. It's a little difficult with the one arm, but I can still get there. Isaiah chapter 55, 10 and 11. This is really having an impact on me lately. I'm going to read this small portion here. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Yes, I saw that, and I realized that is so true, because scriptures that I just didn't know where I've ever heard them or not. I didn't know where they came from, but my uncle used to take me to this church when I was a little kid, and maybe back then I went to some different prayer meetings and churches out across the country, and during the days of my running away from myself, heard different scriptures, and I don't remember them, but the Lord brought them out to me, and I can see this, and I pass out tracts, and if people will read the tracts with an open heart and an open mind, I believe this right here, his word will not come back to him void. I believe this is so true. That's why I try to get out a lot of tracts to people, because I'm saved now. I want other people to be saved. You know, like he says, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Yeah, and I understand now, repentance is, you know, repentance, you repent, you turn from your sin to something else. You're repenting, you turn from your sin to the Lord. Like the Apostle Paul is preaching, turn from your sin, repent and turn to God, he said. Yes, okay, I'm going to turn from my sin and turn to the Lord. So that sounds like a good idea. That was save me. Yes, I am sorry for my sins. I'm really sorry for my sinful life that I have led, and I have realized that there's many ways to hell, but there's only one way to heaven. And that's why when I was asking my cousin one day, what's that verse where it says Jesus says, I am the way and the truth, and I said, can you find that for me in the Bible so I can read that? And she looked it up in the coordinates and got it for me. I remembered it now. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said to his disciple Thomas, actually. I had to look at that a couple of times and say, well, who is he saying that to? And it said in there, in some context, it was saying that Thomas replied, or he said Thomas was... John 14:6, he was talking to Thomas. So that is, yes, I mean, you can look it up right now. If I'm wrong, please let me know. But just as his void does not, the word does not come back to him void, but it shall accomplish what it pleases, what is meant to be. Accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That is true, because this one, where it says, depart from me, I never knew you, in Matthew, that's chapter 7. There's a couple of them, actually, but chapter 7:23 was the one I was looking at. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, I said, well, there it is right there, that was me, depart from me. And Jesus says, you cannot come if where I am if you die in your sins. It says, well, that's me. I surrender. I'm there's no way out of it now. I mean, I'm going to hell, and I don't want to be there. Can I stop and change right now? Yes, you can stop and change right now. That I don't know how I got that answer, but I can't really tell you how I got that answer. But yes, like, I mean, you think about the thief on the cross. He had a change of mind, and that happened real quick, where the Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise. I mean, he was on, that was deathbed to him. So basically, I was on my deathbed, and I was pretty much same situation there, where he was on the verge of dying. He knew it. I'm on the verge of dying in my sins. I knew it. And I cried out for the Lord to save me. And I was reading the Romans. Yeah, I got the Romans track right here. I happen to like passing these out, actually, because it gets the scripture in there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was me. It says whosoever. It doesn't say whosoever. It doesn't say whosoever in a certain amount of time. It's, yeah, you're able to think and make a conscious decision decide to change, and you know you're dying, and you're dying. I mean, people get saved on their deathbed all the time. But I was slowly dying, and I wanted to be saved. And everybody around me was all saved, and I wasn't. I'm like, oh, well, this means the Lord's going to come back again, and not going to take me. And that means I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to hell. Because it's not like I will have nobody to talk to, that will, because the Holy Spirit will not dwell in people after the Lord comes and takes people back, takes them with them. And then I'm really going to, the chance of being saved then is going to be really tough. So I got to, right now, while everybody can still talk to me and tell me some answers, help me out with this Bible, I need to get it straightened out right now. So that was a few months ago, and I've been doing it ever since. Now I can tell the Spirit of Christ is dwelling in me. Yeah, so I'm going too. When Jesus comes again, I'm going too. And I believe that now. I mean, I got this Bible open. Well, I wanted to read a couple of scriptures. But when it comes to the day of judgment, I'm gonna be saying, I said, Lord, I did what it said for me to do in this Bible. It's all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. I says, I did what you said to do. I did it. You know, I'm doing it. I mean, every day I'm doing it. I accepted you as my Lord. I have faith. I repented of my sins. I turned from my sins to you. I'm doing what you said to do. I mean, which leads me to this part right here. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 2:30, I remember. Let me get to it. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 30, let me double check. Verse 30. Starting with 30, okay. Let's see until I get the point. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of the Father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, I'm honoring the Lord. It says right here, if I'm honoring the Lord, then he should honor me. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Excuse me. And I looked up in the American Heritage Dictionary what inspiration meant. And one of the definitions, there's four or five of them, but one of them said divine guidance. It's guidance from God. I take that. So I mean, I have your word. I'm gonna be buried. I'm taking this to my grave. If the Lord doesn't come back and take me off this earth, I'm gonna be buried with this Bible with my name on it, saying, Lord, I did what you said. You are gonna be the one judging me. I did what you said. I am saved. You can't cast me into hell. You can't do it because it's going against your word. You can't lie. You're not able to lie. So, I mean, even if God might like to stick me in there for a little dunk and just pull me out and say, really, you do, you appreciate this a lot more now? Yes. I deserve to go to hell, but I would have put some kind of, if I was God, I would have put some kind of flaws in there where, yeah, I'd give certain people little dunks in there and then just pull them out and say, okay, just testing you, you know. But I'm not going to hell now. Thank God he saved me. I'm really, Jesus Christ, I owe my life to you, and it's reasonable service, yes. I agree with it. So I wanted to say that. That was what I wanted to say. And I want everybody here to understand that I almost died of my sins, and I'm really thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for me and saving me from hell. He humbled himself, come down to this earth and die for all of us. Which, speaking of that verse, which reminds me of, let me get there right now. Philippians. This is another one of those verses that I heard before, but I didn't know where. I come across it one day, and looking for something else, I came across this, and I was like, oh, that's where that says that. I knew every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So I'm going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord right now while I'm alive before I'm dead, and regretting it for eternity that I denied him. I don't want to go through that. So, that was the cane. But anyway, let me just read this verse real quick. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. I believe it is. Let me look. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Which answers my first question. How can Jesus be Son of God and God? Because God was manifested in the flesh to shed his blood to die for us, shed his blood to die for our sins. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Well, let me read this before I get down here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Bondservant right there. So, owes a debt. He paid our debt for us. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those of earth and those under earth, for that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes. That's what I wanted to say, really important. That's really important. I came across me, and that really stuck with me there. Every knee shall bow. Either you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord now and serve him as master, or you're going to spend eternity regretting the day that you rejected him. But I wanted to say one thing before I got down to Mark. I hear you reading the scriptures in Ephesians about the full armor of God. Above all, take the faith, the shield of faith. And I hear you said that a couple of times, and I said, man, what about the shield of faith? It's above all, it says in Ephesians, above all, that's how important it is. Faith is very important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's my little testimony in front of everybody here. I am not going to die in my sins now, and that's why I go out and I spread the gospel out there, because I'm saved. I want everybody to be saved, just like Jesus Christ wants everybody. He died for everybody's sins, shed his blood for everybody's sins of the whole world. That's just amazing to me that he took the sins of the penalty for everybody. I mean, I've done some pretty rotten things, but I try not to think of the bad things anymore. Just live for the Lord now. That's what he wants me to do. So I go out there and give out the gospel, and I honor the Lord because he's going to honor me. It says it right there, 1 Samuel. Yeah, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Make sure I got that right. Since I want to make sure I have this right, 1 Samuel chapter 2, I think it was 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Be lightly esteemed. You ever have a low self-esteem? Well, I don't want the Lord to have a low low esteem for me. I really don't. Every day, yes, I try to, if I could reach one person a day with the gospel, then I feel happy about that. Sometimes I don't get out and to see the public every day, but so I try to make up for it. And then when I go out there into a lot of crowd, I try getting the word out there extra. But I am saved now, and Jesus Christ is my Lord. I have turned from my sins to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Master. And I just want everybody to know that here. And I want to thank the Lord right here, right now, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I thank the Lord. And that's about all I have to say there. Thank you. Okay. This is the church Bible here. Mike. Yeah, that's the church Bible there. I'll just leave it up here.
I heard about a saint from this church his name I believe was Mr. Bastone, and I heard that he said that sometimes it's okay to try to express to everybody just what you've been thinking about. And so I'm going to talk about Isaiah 58 very, very briefly. As a lot of you know, me and a very close friend of mine are in charge of something that happens at Eastern Nazarene College. It's a ministry. It's called Open Hand, Open Heart. And we go to Boston twice each Saturday, and we try to establish a relationship with the people who live in Boston, well, specifically the homeless people who live in Boston. Because they're the people that you can most easily establish a real relationship, unfortunately. Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 5. It's talking about fasting. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou see the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and to satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continuously, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then this last verse. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, They shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. The prophet told us exactly what Christ came to. This is Christ came in and was this. And every weekend, a group of Nazarene students goes to Boston and tries to bring forth a light, to be a light, like it says right here, and try to be the kind of people, like in verse 12, people that repair and people that restore. And because of Jesus, who the prophet told us about, he makes it so that we're able to come and be this kind of thing that the prophet is describing. And the other fellow who along with me is in charge of facilitating this, he found this passage and went and told it before all the students of ENC at our chapel, and was very affected, and I've been wanting to share it. So that's what I've been thinking about.
I'm just going to close the meeting in prayer, but before I do, our brother Matthew and brother Josh were just reminding me of a verse that spoke to my heart. It's in John chapter 12. And sometimes we can be poor servants. I know I have been. I can be a pretty bad servant sometime. And, you know, the Lord won't forsake us for that, but he wants us to serve him. And as Josh was pointing out and our brother was pointing out, there's a verse in 12, and it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And right here, if any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's a tremendous thing to be honored by God in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only way we can have true life. But I just wanted to close in prayer and thank you, brother, for your testimony. Thank you for reminding me of that most important piece of armor, the shield of faith, above all. Taking the shield of faith. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ are for filling in those gaps that sometimes we miss. And praise God for your testimony. It just speaks to the power of the gospel that still saves today. We're just going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, how could we even begin to thank you enough for saving our souls, Father, for saving us from an eternity that would be lost, separated from you, Lord. And yet now, Lord, not only have you saved us, you have enabled us to serve you, to go forth to a dying world and to help others come to see the life that is in your Son alone, the salvation that is through him alone. So, Father, we thank you for our brother's testimony this morning. It just speaks of your glory, your grace, your kindness, your mercy, your salvation. Father, we just thank you for it all, and we'd be very careful to give your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the honor and glory for it, because he alone is that Savior, and he still saves today. Father, bless us as we go forth to preach the gospel tonight in the park. We just ask that you would prepare hearts, get into the hearts and into the minds of those people who are walking by so that they could hear the wonderful words of life and be saved and be convicted that they are in dire need of a Savior, and that Savior is you, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you now and close in his name alone. Amen.